Local product, Cam Lampkin with the interception there. Rams beating the Cowboys 31-21 from SoFi Stadium. Cowboys falling to 0-1 in the preseason. But as Brian Schottenheimer said with Brad Sham in the pregame interview, the quickest thing people forget is your preseason record. I couldn't tell you how the Cowboys fared in preseason last year from a win-loss record, and we did the postgame show after every one, Brian brought us.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Wolchuk alongside the Super Bowl winning scout. And the second half did get a little bit better after it was 14-6. Offense found their footing a little bit. You had a 9-play, 73-yard drive as Joe Milton threw his first touchdown as a Cowboy, finding the undrafted rookie free agent tight end out of Auburn, Rivaldo Fairweather, for a 7-yard touchdown. Then he hit Texas Tech Red Raider Joshua Kelly for a 2-point conversion. Will Greer coming in for the final drive, 10 plays, 65 yards with the 8-yard touchdown scramble. But in that second half, especially in the fourth quarter, it was really the running game for the Rams that took over, as you had Schrader go off for 5 for 59, averaging over 11 yards a catch. I mean, the run defense, it's honestly surprising when you look at the Rams rushing for 181 yards. I thought that number would actually look worse, Brian.
Sure. And and you're absolutely right about Schrader. We were talking about him when he was running at Missouri. I think he was one of those guys that...
One of those walk-ons.
Yeah,
that
couldn't quite figure out why nobody liked this kid that was the SEC's leading rusher one year. But, you know, downhill runner, physical. Yeah, the thing that bothered me about this game the most is just, like I say, that, you know, with some backup guys and guys trying to show you that they belong, you know. Okay, we talk about defensive rotation. It's kind of a Rod Marinelli way of doing things. You need a lot of guys, a lot of bodies. And unfortunately, though, just the lack of pass rush, but also then the way that they played run defense. And there was only a couple of times where they created a 3-and-out situation. I'll tell you what, after the first couple of drives, I was really worried that they were going to completely get run out of the ballpark. I mean, I thought like the Rams were going to score every drive that they had the football, but there's some guys on this currently on this roster that put film out this week of, you know, and they talked about it. And I know myself, when Eric and I did the pregame show today, we were kind of going back and forth, and I said, hey, I talked to somebody in the front office and this is what they were looking for. And they were looking for pad level. And several times you heard, you know, if you're watching the broadcast or listening to Brad and Babe, but Isaiah Stanbeck was talking about pad level, guys playing too high. And defensively, though, I'm sure when we watch the tape tomorrow, you'll see guys playing too high. And that's a big problem. You've got to get off blocks. You've got to get in position. But there are, and it's not just about big bodies. It's about a total front seven being able to control blocks, get off blocks, and then go make plays. And they did not do that well enough for the backup guys that are trying to make this football team right now.
No, they didn't. And you're absolutely right. I mean, they got driven off the football. I mentioned it at halftime. It seemed like it was 3 yards before contact. I mean, your leading tacklers.
They were one of the worst in the league last year when it came to that.
Carried over. I mean, your leading tacklers in this one were a lot of your secondary players. I mean, you had Zion Childress with 6 tackles tied for the team lead. You had Elijah Clark with 5 tackles. This was a situation where your corners and your safeties are really having to come up and play run support for you, because you're right. They got absolutely no penetration. And I was a little, I mean, look, Donovan Ezeraku, it's his first NFL game. 877-881-1053, the number to call, the number to text, 877-881-1053. And I already saw a couple of texts like, well, you know, where was Donovan Ezeraku? I would have liked a little bit more.
Where was he? But in training camp practices, he has been outstanding. And maybe this is more about the Cowboys' inability at tackle, at offensive tackle. Maybe this is where he and, you know, he has looked really, really good rushing the passer. You can watch the clips. You know, if you're one of these fans that likes to follow John Machota and Nick Harris and everybody out there, yourself, anybody that was tweeting plays, Eric Chiafalo, you know, there's no clips of Donovan Ezeraku not rushing the passer and having success.
Yeah.
But, you know, the the scrimmage probably wasn't one of his best efforts. And then here we'll have the film. We'll see what happens. I always say watch the film because that's my best gauge. But the eye test tonight? No. Overall, pass rush? No. Not a factor tonight at all.
No.
Not especially not early in that game when Donovan Ezeraku had the opportunity.
No, the first two drives were rough for the defense. 11 plays, 79 yards for a touchdown. Blake Corum with the score. And then the next drive, 13 plays, 64 yards. I mean, they got totally worn down, and a lot of it was bully ball. Stetson Bennett with a couple of good throws in there as well. But the big issue, and you talk about this, and the most important thing is get up after every play.
Yeah.
And that's what was worrisome tonight. The Cowboys dealing with some injuries. I know our buddy Nick Harris with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram saying Cowboys quarterback Joe Milton suffered an elbow injury late in the game. We saw him favoring that along the sideline, and it looked like he was kind of talking about how it went up to the shoulder. Maybe it's
might
a nerve.
Yeah, the funny bone thing. The humerus, is that what they call the bone?
I'll take your word for it.
I'll tell you what, though.
A lot of hubris.
I was encouraged the fact that he was able to grip the football, because if you get that numbness and the ball just falls out of your hand, that's a bad sign, right?
No, it is. And we saw Joe Burrow. I mean, he ended up having season-ending surgery because of that. So you hope, hey, worst-case scenario, that's not what's going to happen here. Sadiq Charles, Cowboys backup lineman, left the game, did not return with a knee injury.
Yeah.
Buddy Johnson left the game with a knee injury, a linebacker.
Playing well on special teams, and he had a tackle in the field. He was one of the guys that was super active. Hate to see him. You hate to see anybody laying on the turf. You know, this is, it gets hard to even practice when you could have all these guys in camp, but you start losing. You get a run on a position, like the cornerback. That cornerback.
Yeah, Robert Rochelle left the game, did not come back with a hamstring.
Yeah, just crazy what they've had to go through injury-wise so far. I don't think it's the physicality of the camp. I just feel like, though, to me, and you can't say bad luck, but my gosh, this has been a really tough situation for the team here. Since they've been in California.
Yeah, and there is a lot of panic about the amount of injuries. And I think you're right. It's not, injuries are part of football. It's unavoidable.
McCarthy practiced. He practiced. He took the time to be, the team needs to be, everything needs to be okay. We need health. He's taken healthy football teams and pooped in the bed with healthy football teams. Brian Schottenheimer is trying to create a culture of the way they're going to practice. He's trying to build his own thing. We can't sit there and get mad at them. Like, for so many years, it was Camp Cupcake with Wade Phillips over the years. And then you get a guy that practices hard, like Jason Garrett. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, there's all these injuries. What are they doing? Why are they practicing so hard? Folks, you really can't have it both ways.
No.
I subscribe to the practice hard and prepare your team that way. The thing that just disappoints me tonight a little bit is the fact that there's some guys that are battling for spots and not playing at a level that you would say is winning football. That was one of the things that this front office member told me. He's like, we want to see them think on their feet and play physical, winning NFL football.
Well, how about Awesome Richards, who's a player both of us liked coming out of North Carolina?
Yeah.
And then you have back-to-back penalties where he's not lining up on the line of scrimmage.
One of them with a nice gain, too, that was brought back. And I kind of felt like that Awesome Richards... Like, listen, you have the penalty one time for depth. You get it one time. The referee probably warned him, hey, you're too deep. You're too deep in the backfield. 76, you're too deep. Okay, you get the warning, and then he throws the flag. And then when he throws the flag, now you have to go, okay, I am too deep. I have got to move up. You have to put your head in the middle of the guard's body, and that's where you line up, and away you go. But to have back-to-back penalties for lining up, and I guarantee you the official probably told him early in the game, you got to move up. This is something the officials, they call a bunch of these types of penalties during the preseason and to get everybody's attention, and then they go from there. And so it's unfortunate that the 11 penalties is sloppy football and all that. You can say all you want about that. These types of penalties are just – you know, these are the uncalled for ones.
31-21 Rams over the Cowboys. This is the official postgame show of your Dallas Cowboys, brought to you by Pepsi, made for Cowboys watching. Want to use what the pros use? Jack Black is the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit getjackblack.com today. 877-881-1053. The number to call, the number to text. Zach Wolchuk alongside the Super Bowl winning scout, Brian Broaddus. Some texts rolling in here. Where was Jaden Blue from the 817? And that's a bone bruise. That's a bone bruise.
Yeah, he's still with the heel. He was in a boot, and it sounds like that hopefully he will be back next week practicing. But that was initially, it was a sprained ankle. They did an MRI on the ankle. Then they found it was a bone bruise on the heel. So that's why Jaden Blue was not a participant tonight.
And then as we talk about the run defense, several texts coming in about Mozzie Smith.
He's not good enough, and that's the problem with. And it's hard to play this game. And Mozzie wasn't the only one that had troubles up front. But Mozzie Smith, and I say this a bunch, football is a tough game. And to play the game, you know, I'm not going to ever question anybody's toughness that plays in the NFL or plays high school football or college football. Football is not an easy game to play. But when you do not love football, and I believe Mozzie Smith is really struggling right now. I think Mozzie Smith's spirit has been, you know, killed. Different coaches he's had to deal with. Jeff Seguina, I think, did a really nice job with him last year, at least getting him able to play in those games, those division games. But Mozzie Smith looks like a guy that really wants a way out right now.
Yeah,
you know, if they said, hey, Mozzie Smith, you're done with football with the Dallas Cowboys, Mozzie Smith would probably be happy about that.
I think that's one of the biggest issues when we talk about sometimes with the way the team's built. I do think the Cowboys will try and give their draft picks every ounce of opportunity before they're willing to cut ties.
The 3-year rule, for
right.
Sure. Yeah, and Mozzie's
had. I don't think you need the third year for Mozzie.
I don't think so either. And, you know, that's they've got to figure out how they're going to play this thing up front, you know, with. We've seen Winfrey
got some penetration tonight. He's a guy that'll play with high pad level too.
Absolutely.
But he looks better than Mozzie.
Yeah, that's the
Toia, did he show up on the stat sheet? No, but he gets off the football.
Yeah. They've got to kind of figure out some of these things, you know, no question in the run game part of it though. And they I'll tell you another thing they got to figure out is the nickel corner situation, because nothing against Keeman Hall, but there was a couple times tonight where they went after him. And there was separation there, and he didn't make the plays. He probably didn't drive on it well enough, didn't read it well enough. You know, we'll see if Zion Childers gets some more work. I saw him late in the game getting some work at the nickel corner. But that it just shows you how much missing Jordan Lewis will be in these games likely.
I've advocated for a long time there might not be a more important spot in the secondary. With how teams are motioning and they'll put their best wide receiver in the slot to try and gain matchups. And we were lucky enough to get to talk with Deron Bland on our weekday show, the G-Bag Nation, on the flagship 105 through the Fan. And I asked Bland, hey, I loved your play mentality. I think you've got the right temperament. You got to be wanting to play physical. You got to be willing to mix it up in the running game, short area quickness. And he smiled and appreciated it, but he wants to play on the outside. I think a lot of that might have to do with the contract, but I don't think there's a doubt. Really, he's the only guy that you probably have confidence in. If you had to line up and play Philly today, Deron Bland's probably going to have to kick inside for you.
Yeah, we've seen Elam at times be very good in practice. The 8 practices that I got to watch, 9 practices, saw 3 interceptions from him. So, you know, that part of it was very positive. Bland, we think we have an idea what Bland is as a player. The nickel really, really worries me, though. I just don't know if that's going to be, you know, do you go outside? I know people are probably texting in, and what about Gilmore? Mm-hmm. People at the Cowboys will tell you that Gilmore just doesn't run well enough anymore. The latter part of Gilmore's tenure here with the Dallas Cowboys, and maybe they'll go to it, but I know talking to people in the scouting department, the first thing when you mention Gilmore, they say he just does not run well enough.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But that's a veteran player that we all know. Let's see, though, if they could be very well looking for somebody to play. But like I said earlier, though, this might be a situation, too, where Zion Childers will get more of an opportunity and see if him and Hall are kind of trading things off.
Yeah, Childress looked good. In Hall, North Texas, Mean Green, Ka, let's go. But certainly he did struggle. He absolutely did. But Childress has been a nice player in practice, translated it to the game today. Post-game show rolls on. We'll get to your calls. 877-881-1053. As the Cowboys fall to the Rams, 31-21, you're listening to the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. That was a tough one as Joe Milton, up and down, and that's oftentimes what it is with Joe Milton. 31-21, Rams beating the Cowboys in the preseason opener. Zach Wolchuk alongside the Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus here on the official postgame show of your Dallas Cowboys, brought to you by AT&T. Connecting changes everything. You just cheered for America's team on the field. Now see them on the reels. Cowboys-themed casino games developed by Aristocrat, now at a casino near you. Aristocrat, a proud sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. And if you've got a gambling problem, please contact 1-800-GAMBLER. For 21 and over. But Milton, yeah, that play stood out because you had a wide open Ryan Flannoy.
Yeah.
And while I do think you've got five receivers that I think their jobs, just my history of how the Cowboys operate, I don't think these guys are going to go anywhere with CeeDee, Pickens, Turpin, Mingo, and Tolbert. I think those guys are going to be safe. I would have Tolbert on the bubble personally. I think I like what I see from guys like Jalen Brooks. I think Holden made the most of his reps today. Gets two targets. What's he have? Two catches. One of them was the longest of the day. Ends up leading the team in receiving yards, 2 for 42. Ryan Flannoy had an opportunity to make a play there, and he's trying to make the team, and that's when it's a bummer when Joe Milton, who 17 of 29, 143, a touchdown, a pick, also ran the ball a little bit, had a couple of those option keepers, but you just the accuracy and the decision making, and it comes with reps and it comes with playing, but you can kind of see the good and then the areas where Joe Milton needs to improve.
Joe Milton gets a lot of work during practice. There's really no excuse for Joe Milton to go and miss open receivers. You know, and it happened a couple of different times, and I just kind of wonder if Joe Milton sees the field as well as he does for an NFL quarterback. We talked about the kind of the wild ass throws that they make and stuff, or he makes. And you're just kind of enamored with the arm strength, the talent. But if you don't have touch and accuracy, and there's times where they've been down in the red zone, I know, watching practice, where it seemed like he hit that. That's a good throw right there. But he had Flannoy open, you know, there was separation on that. And I'm not talking about the one that went across the middle. I'm talking about the one in the red zone where
the back pylon.
He powered that ball down, and I'm like, if you just kind of throw it out front and just give him a little air and just try and lead him to the but man, he throws that thing like 3 yards out of bounds on the line, and there's no reason to do that when you saw the receiver had separation the way that Flannoy did. But you know, Joe Milton it's one of those things. He is good enough to, like, where you just become super enamored. Scouts fall in love with traits and how they look.
The size, arm strength.
Man, you see that kid do a flip, full pads. It's amazing, you know, that kind of. And then you're like, well, damn, he missed the guy wide open running across the middle of the field. And there were a couple of different throws that he made that were just very questionable and not accurate. And that's probably what you're going to get with Joe Milton. You're probably going to get a guy that, you know, on a good day is going to be 17 of 29. And if he hits on a couple of those passes he missed, he's going to have over a couple hundred yards throwing the ball. But the misses that he had today were pretty concerning, because it's not like he's the third quarterback at practice. I mean, Will Greer gets no reps, really no reps. And Joe Milton gets a lot of reps.
And he gets the reps throwing to these guys.
Brooks,
to Flannoy. Yeah, like, to me, it's not like you're throwing the ball to guys that you don't have familiarity with.
I get it. I saw Brett Favre, and my apologies to you. I guess we'll do it on our show. Mama, give me some flapjacks. Yep. You know, that kind of thing.
I'll stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But the thing with Joe Milton is, though, he does get work with these guys. He does have opportunities to make these throws, and he knows the routes, and he's getting better at understanding where he has to go. But man, you just cannot miss open guys when, you know, you need to make sure that, you know, when you reward a guy for running a great route, should reward Flannoy for running a great route, and he just missed him across the middle.
No, it's a bummer because you want these receivers that are battling. I mean, can they keep six receivers, right? I mean, it's a numbers game, but all these guys are in
with
competition.
With all these injuries, jeez, this might be tough.
Oof, yeah, you're probably going to have to – you might have to go long on linemen. I mean, do you have enough that are quality to keep that many? That's a conversation. Corners? I mean, yeah, it's going to – putting this 53 together is going to be interesting. I see you waiting on the phone lines. We will get to you in just a moment. 877-881-1053, but let's get to Coach Brian Schottenheimer and his press conference as he just visited with the media. Coach Brian Schottenheimer there after the Cowboys 31-21 loss. Yeah, I mean, the second half, it was Cody Schrader, the running back from Mizzou, that really went off on him. Corum did have the two touchdowns in the first half.
Yeah.
First two defensive series for the Cowboys in the game. They allowed two touchdowns, nine first downs, 140 total yards, gave up 5.8 yards per play, courtesy of John Mishota of The Athletic. I mean, the run defense was an issue the entire night. I mean, I think you and I, and it is, it's preseason, you know, you're kind of testing some things out. So I think it's a tough judge overall of like Brian Schottenheimer, the play caller.
Yeah.
Necessarily. But like, there, you know, the third down call with Joe Milton, mm-hmm. we were thinking, okay, now you're going to throw the ball. It's third and three.
Yeah.
You just picked up three on the ground.
Oh, yeah. If he had the intent to go for it on fourth down, just run it twice. And see if he could pick it up there. But yeah, I think he's gonna have to look at himself and look at, you know, it's funny, for a guy that was supposed to be pretty vanilla there, that was a pretty big play sheet he had there.
That was
pretty Cheesecake Factory menu looking right there with all those clips and hooks and stuff that he had on that thing. But yeah, it's he's gonna have to go back and look at some of the situations that he put his team in. I felt initially, you know, when his team was reeling a little bit on defense in those first couple of series, the fact that he kept throwing the football, you know, you just got to find a way to kind of, okay, get something going here. You know, his answer was kind of like, let's go to the quick screen, and that didn't kind of materialize. But also, too, he's got to work on knowing what personnel's in the game, too, because Phil Maffa on a red zone screen is not going to be as effective as if you throw the screen to, say, Deuce Vaughn or
even Malik Davis saw the end there.
Yeah, it was good to see Malik Davis do what he did, you know, coming off the streets and having an opportunity. But you got to kind of know maybe your personnel. And those are things that will – but you also – I always get on coaches about this, and this bothers the heck out of me. I hate when coaches don't know the condition of their team. His defense was obviously reeling. He had to do something – to give Flus and his defensive guys a break. And I didn't feel like his first two series were good enough doing that. You know, it's like, oh, wow, this could be one of those things where all of a sudden we're in a little bit of trouble. Maybe I got to try and run the ball here, give him some time, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, for the first time out, he talks about communication. I think some of the play stuff he'd like to have back. But I'll go back to this thing on the defensive side of the ball and even on the offensive side, that there are guys on this team that are trying to be part of the 53. And they're going to look at this film and they're going to go, it's not good enough. And I'll say this because I lived this, folks. Players cut themselves. They don't, you know, everybody says, you know, oh, we're going a different direction and this, that, and the other.
Hardest cut ever.
Hardest cut ever and all that. If players don't play well in practice and continually make mistakes, then you can't have them on their 53-man roster. You just can't. And so these players who are battling for positions and battling for roster spots and battling for an opportunity to continue their NFL careers, they need to look at that film and say, did I play my absolute best today?
Mm-hmm.
And or did I play like I was tired and I wasn't ready and I didn't prepare myself to play at the best level I could? That part of it's disappointing. I think a guy like Buddy Johnson probably doesn't get a lot of work in practice. But here he makes a couple of tackles on special teams, gets in on another tackle. You know, those are the kinds of things that you like to see, a guy that doesn't have a lot of opportunity all of a sudden making some plays for you.
Absolutely. Brian Broad, a Super Bowl winning scout, alongside myself, Zach Wolchuk, 31-21, Rams over the Cowboys. Your calls on the other side. We'll also hear from the voice of your Dallas Cowboys, Brad Sham. Dallas Cowboys football will continue in a moment. 31-21 Rams over the Cowboys in preseason game number one. That was Cody Schrader. 5 for 59, averaging just under 12 yards a carry for the former Mizzou Tiger.
He ran the ball hard at Missouri, too.
Boy, sure did. They got a couple hard runners. Jarquez Hunter from Auburn was another guy that we liked during the draft show. That's a tough runner, 11 for 41. Blake Corum, the former Michigan Wolverine, had 9 for 32, couple of touchdowns. Cowboys leading rusher Malik Davis, all in the fourth quarter, 7 for 63, 9 yards a carry. Phil Moffa, though, 10 for 36. And I think anytime you're able to just, hey, one cut and go, north and south. Phil Moffa is going to be an effective player. I'm in favor, and we'll see about the health of this. I thought Phil Moffa in pass protection will go back and look as well. Didn't do poorly. Maybe Blue, Moffa, and then whichever one of those veterans you want out of Williams and Sanders. That's kind of what I'd like to rock with. But they're going to go with the two veterans and probably get Moffa, I would assume, on the practice squad. But we'll see how this plays out over the course of the next two preseason games. Zach Wolchuk alongside Brian Broaddus. Let's hit the phones, 877-881-1053. And let's go to our buddy in Round Rock, Jim. What's going on, man? How are you tonight?
Well, fellas, we're back at it. Well, Chuck Broaddus, it's just good to hear you on a post-game show.
Thank you.
I went back and, you know, we did this last year. We played the Rams and Broaddus, you were out at Houston out of training camp.
I was.
Last time we did
this. I was.
Last time, kicked back in the tent there. But I don't disagree with anything you said. I went back and watched those first two drives. I will say one thing that did impress me, and I think you'll see this on the film. Broaddus, I can't wait. God, I can't wait to see you break down film in a few weeks on that big screen you're going to have. But the pass protection was not bad. Milton had some time back there.
Yeah.
And Schoonmaker probably should have made that catch. You know, he was a little, maybe hurried it up a little bit on Deuce on that drive. There were some things. It just kind of felt like the timing was a little bit off there at the beginning. And maybe that was, he was being a little bit antsy, but you know, there was some, you know, it's a preseason game, and we were seeing a lot of guys that we had hoped would be depth. Now, I am a little bit concerned about the quality of the depth on the defense, because we, as you said early, Brian, you sort of answered all the questions. You know, we're going to be sending guys in and out on that defense. You better have some horses that can pull the carriage, and I'm not sure we do, but hey, it's a preseason game, fellas. It's just so happy that we're back at this, and you know, we got to be a little bit patient with them, but they'll be all right. But Walter, it's good to hear your voice. I hadn't heard you in a little while, and Broaddus, you know, I just appreciate you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for doing what you do, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, Jim. We appreciate you, man. There's Jim in Round Rock, and he's a weekly in the post game show. He's been calling in for years.
He signs up for us, man. Yeah, he's like, he signed up for 18
good
weeks.
Good or bad.
Yeah.
We know we can expect
weeks.
Jim to be calling in. I appreciate him. And absolutely, the cornerback depth took a hit. I mean, we didn't even get to see Kalen Carson play tonight. He's been dealing with injuries.
Yeah.
Kyrie Elam and Deron Bland obviously did not play. Troy Pride Jr. was out there. Josh Butler keeps rehabbing. Kimon Hall, we talked about earlier, struggling a little bit. Zion Childress, he was probably the bright spot in the corner group tonight. And Israel Mukwamu did get his interception, but Izzy Mukwamu, we'll see. You know, do they want to play him at safety? Do they want to play him at corner? He has struggled to consistently be able to get on the field. Let's